Well, I'm really glad to have this chance to be here presenting and joining this conversation of social justice, and in this case particularly about children of Latino day laborers. And I am especially glad to be in Denver because although I live in California, I actually grew up in Denver and still consider it my home in many ways. And my first contact with public health or the community or action in the community really came through my parents in a community just about a mile or two from here, the Sun Valley community, which is a high Latino community, where my parents worked in with Head Start and with some after-school tutoring programs, and that was my introduction really to community work, and I'm really grateful for some of those lessons that I learned here in the Denver community just a few miles from this spot. So I'm glad to have that chance. The title of my presentation here is Social Justice in Health for Children of Day Labor Parents. And myself and Dr. Cheryl Killian, the second author on this paper, have no disclosures. So every day on the street corners in my community, I see groups of men, most often Latinos, gathered waiting for work. They are seeking whatever employment they can find, usually in manual labor such as construction or landscaping. The phenomenon is not unique to my community, I know, but is seen throughout the country. The day laborers commonly come from Mexico or other countries in Latin America in search of work. Many leave families behind, but some men, an estimated 30%, bring their families along with them in search of a new life. As I became more familiar with the day laborers community as a volunteer in a community center, I became aware that women also work as day laborers, usually in housekeeping or in the service industry. I also became aware of the children of these families and began to wonder about the experience of being a parent in circumstances like this, working on a day-to-day basis with uncertain employment. How do parents care for their children in these circumstances? And how do they care for the health of their children? And these questions became the impetus for a community-based participatory action research that's going to be presented here and subsequently gave rise to concerns about social justice for health of children of day laborers. So migration of Latinos from Central America and Mexico in the U.S. is endemic and also subject to controversy. We're all very aware of this. The primary reason for migration is economics, and the U.S. economy relies heavily on workforce from Mexico and Latin America in agriculture and also in the service industries. Many of the immigrants who come seek work as jornaleros or day laborers, and they seek work day by day on the streets, seeing what they can find each day. And an estimated 30% of these include families with children. Little research has been done related to the day laborers until recently, and it's only recently that this has really been studied, and the most significant and wide-reaching study of day laborers is from an economic perspective, and is the first one mentioned here. In four different urban settings, this study was conducted, and an estimated 117,000 day laborers are thought to report to work each day. Another study used ethnographic approaches, and Walters and his team really found that there's a lot of increased risk of injury and illness for the day laborers. Significant risk insecurity regarding finances is evident. And day laborers are really reluctant to access health services because of communication difficulties, economic pressures, and anxiety regarding immigration. Significantly, the needs of children and families of day laborers are not discussed at all in the literature, but it seems likely that these factors and these concerns about insecurity and employment instability and risk of injury might be reflected in the families that accompany these day laborers. So although the children of day laborers are not mentioned in the literature, the disparities for the general population of Latino children are highly documented in the literature. One of every four uninsured children is said to be Latino, and that is more than 3 million children in the U.S., and more than 27% of Latino children are thought to be uninsured. So they're like three times more likely to be uninsured than other children. Latino children are more likely than the general population to be poor, to be uninsured, to be lacking a regular healthcare provider, and to be at risk for poor health. And this population is growing rapidly. In California, the population of Latino children is predicted to grow in number and outnumber all other children by the year 2025. So it's a very large, rapidly growing population. So this context gave rise to this study, and these research questions were identified for community-based participatory action research. First of all, what are the concerns of Latino day labor parents regarding the health of their children? What are the perceptions of day labor parents regarding barriers and assets to the health of their children? And what strategies would these day labor parents propose to promote the health of their children? So this was a community-based participatory research design, and that really sought to engage the participants, the parents, in the research itself. The participants joined with the researcher, me, and to conduct the research by identifying research questions and approaches, and then what action would take place. So the study took place in an urban Latino community in Northern California, and day labor parents and community stakeholders were identified from community sites such as a day labor center, community crisis center, child development center, and other such centers like that. The sample included 24 day labor parents, 6 community stakeholders, for a total of 30 participants. Focus groups were conducted with the parent participants, and interviews were conducted with the community stakeholders. The stakeholders were members of the community who had high investment with the participants working in the community with the day labor families in various provisions of services or other such things. The interviews with the stakeholders were conducted in the preferred language of the stakeholder, English or Spanish, and all the focus groups were conducted in Spanish. So this study, of course, is following community-based participatory action. As you likely know, the philosophy of this research is rooted in Lewin's action research and Fier's, his liberatory pedagogy that originated in South America. And as such, it is really a benefit for communities with limited voice or marginalized communities. And it really focuses on engaging participants and in capacity building with communities. And so it seemed like an appropriate choice for this community. So the research really sought to have shared ownership of the research project from the participants and included a commitment to action and a commitment to enlarging the voice of the day labor community, particularly the parents. The interactions with the day labor families were rich and rewarding. Parents were eager to give voice to their experience of caring for their children. And their response included themes such as difficulty accessing care, receiving poor care, and the experience of fear. So the experience of Latino day labor families included multiple layers of uncertainty and stress. Uncertainty of work, particularly with the context, the change, the economic downturn, many families reported less than one day of work per week, and that would be what they would survive on. Economic uncertainty, very difficult to support a family on such a low income. And then the work itself gives a vulnerability to the families, as it may be heavy, difficult, and there's little legal guidance to what work might be done or what and sometimes payment for the work is really uncertain as well. And then the undocumented status of some families creates a lot of stress for the families, a lot of concern about separation from one family member from another, and or deportation of a family member. And some of the parents reported fear leaving the house because of immigration, and basically would just stay inside as much as possible to avoid avoid deportation. Families reported feeling isolated from their extended family. They greatly missed their home of origin and expressed the conflict of needing to be here and yet wanting to be there, back home with family. Parents also reported difficulty getting care for themselves and their children, long waits for appointments if it was available, transportation issues, and a lot of difficulty getting any kind of care. Dental care and mental health care were particularly inaccessible. When families did access care, they reported receiving poor care, that what they really received, they didn't trust, and they didn't see it as good care. There was also experiences of cultural dissonance. And the families really expressed they expected support from their extended family, but their family was far away. So the new mother, for example, couldn't turn to her own mother. She had no one to turn to. The importance of relationship in Latino culture was repeatedly expressed by the parents. They wanted to have trust and confidence in the healthcare providers, to have personal relationship with that providers, or at least warm personal interactions with healthcare providers. And they also expected to be known by the healthcare providers so that they wouldn't have to repeatedly explain the child's history or their own circumstances. And instead they reported a lot of dissonance in the reality of their experience. They reported that they experienced disrespect from healthcare providers and repeatedly spoke of isolation and fear and considerable difficulty getting any kind of care. The parents vividly expressed their fears and gave evidence to the chronic uncertainty that they really are experiencing. If I have, my baby has a fever or flu or whatever, I don't take her to the hospital because it makes me afraid. Very low trust of the hospital and medical system. And fear is a factor which keeps us as mothers in the house because, at least for me, I'm afraid to leave. Highly isolated experience for many parents. And our children are growing up like second-class citizens because we cannot give them security. This mother was really referring to how she was carrying on a bit of a hiding routine, staying out of the public limelight and all insecure herself, and she was very concerned that she would actually translate this to her child over time. Parents also experienced difficulty or disparity within the family itself. So one mother said, I have three children and only one qualifies for insurance. Actually experienced health disparity right within her children, between her own families. You take your baby to the emergency and they don't say anything and you wait forever and the service you give is not very good. The doctor should know your child. Family experiences where they really wanted to be known and receive respectful care. So I see many threats to social justice then for the children of Latino day laborers. From the health system, there's variable, inconsistent access to health care, minimal provision to address this in health reform, and uneven care, perception of poor care, particularly in low access to specialty care, mental health, and dental care. Cultural issues also are threats to social justice. Provider inconsistency, this cultural dissonance that we mentioned, reports of disrespect from providers, mutual lack of trust, fear and marginalization, and limited voice, unable to speak up if they felt disrespected or if they received poor care, and this economic uncertainty. Strategies for social justice for children of Latino day laborers. We need to establish equitable health delivery systems, and I know we're all been thinking about that and trying to work towards that in many different ways. Medical homes where a child could be known is one of those approaches. Cultural advocacy, where we know where health providers are really willing to provide that relationship approach to Latino families so they can develop trust. Health navigators, so that they can maneuver the system. Peer-to-peer models, and there's been good success from migrant civic organizations, day labor centers. Social justice for children includes that helping caregivers to really know how to get fair and equal, or helping families to get fair and equal treatment and access opportunities. And we talk about social justice and we're really looking to change unhealthy, unfair, and unjust situations that are certainly evident for these migrants. It also takes deep, unique skills and sensitivity to address some of the trauma that's there in this whole immigration and migration process. And the acculturation process and the psychosocial issues and adaptation and the cultural influences are there. We need a lot of abilities and change in that respect. Since social policies and not laws of human nature and or economic development are responsible for social inequalities that produce these health effects, we've got to look upstream from the point of medical delivery and ask the fairness of the distribution of these goods from Daniels. We have to look beyond what we've got now. We've got to see if we can find ways to provide beyond the system. Community-based participatory action research was effective, it is an effective way to address some of these challenges and obstacles. It allows a chance to give some voice to people who otherwise might not be able to give that voice. For this project, action is ongoing, as with any community-based research action project. A small group of women are meeting regularly and working to improve their community. Parenting education is being developed, parent-to-parent support groups, development of community resource centers. The progress is slow, the context has been difficult. There's been a lot of backward movement in the community and cutting of resources, and it has been difficult, but the workers are continuing on. And here's my contact information.